What did he do instead? He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Even death on a cross. He's God. But to save us and to lead this new people, he made himself nothing, made himself the servant of all, even to death on a cross. We follow Christ as Christians because of that. He laid down his life for us. Because he made it possible for us to have hope when there was no hope for us. Because he showed us when he was on this earth glimpses of the future that he was wanting us to have one day. The future where suffering is not around, where evil is told where to go. An amazing future where pain and suffering and evil and sin are gone. And he died on the cross to make sure we can go there with him. Christians follow Christ. If you're following anyone else, they're not worth it. Give your life to Jesus. Christian leaders also follow Christ. Celebrity is about getting glory for your own name, really? Christian leadership is about getting glory for Jesus' name. Celebrity is about giving your fans what they want, giving people what they want. Christian leadership is about giving people what they need the most. The gospel. Celebrity is about getting stuff for me or whoever the leader is. And Christian leadership is about laying down your life for others. So Christian leaders follow Christ. Why? Because we follow the same pattern that Jesus showed on the cross. And then thirdly, Christian followers follow Christian leaders who follow Christ. You got that one? Yeah? Christian followers follow Christian leaders who follow Christ. Bit of a mouthful. Try saying that one a few times while you're eating your mashed potato at lunchtime. Maybe don't. See, again, it's all about Jesus Christ. Christian leadership is servant leadership. It's not lording it over people. And so followers are those who haven't had it lorded over them but are willing themselves to serve and give their lives for the big cause that we're all in. Christian leadership is about the gospel cause, which means it will attract opposition. Not everyone wants to follow the gospel cause. In fact, not all leaders want to lead in the gospel cause. But if they are, they'll find that not all followers want to follow in the gospel cause. People maybe won't want to change. People maybe want to stay comfortable. People maybe want to be entertained. People maybe don't want to hear hard things, the things they need to hear. People don't want to face their own issues and their own sin. And all of these things are what Jesus leads his people into as he leads leaders who lead followers and so on. Christian leadership is about the cross, and so I want us to go back to where I started the whole service, to 1 Corinthians. Both these letters to the Corinthians have so much to tell us about Christian leadership and celebrity and how we should respond as God's people. The verse that I read out earlier, chapter 1, verse 18. No, not that one, but like it. Chapter 1, verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross. Christian leadership is about the cross, and the cross is a message of foolishness. Christian leadership will look foolish to some people. But it's not. To those who are being saved, it's the power of God, and don't we know it? Christian following is not about celebrity. We don't follow those who entertain us. We don't follow the celebrity. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26, Paul says, brothers and sisters, he says to them, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were influential, not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, the nothings, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before God. It's not about the glitz, the glamour, the celebrity, the adulation, the glory. It's about the cross. It's about humility. It's about the weak things. So Christian following is not about celebrity, and neither is Christian leadership. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except that one thing which we started with. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you not with trumpet blast and fanfare and la-di-da. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I was depending on God, Paul says, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, it might not rest on human celebrity, it might not rest on the wow factor, and so on. But it might rest on God's power. We love celebrity. We love entertainment. We love hearing nice things. We love being comfortable. We love so many things in our lives. But leadership has not much at all to do with celebrity. And following has not much to do at all with celebrity. It's not about following some strong personality or some charismatic leader, as good as those things may be. It's all about that. Christ crucified. So the cross smashes celebrity. It makes us, at the same time, examine who and why we're following. And what we should be looking for in leaders, and how we're all going with Jesus ourselves. Because it's all about Jesus and His demand, the demand from Christ alone, above all other possible great leaders. From Christ alone, across the chasm of 20 centuries, makes a demand which is beyond all others, difficult to satisfy. He asks more than a father can demand of his child, or a bride of her spouse, or a man of his brother. He asks for the human heart, and He will have it entirely to Himself. That's massive. That's what Jesus is after. That's what He calls of His followers. That's what He demands unconditionally. And so has He got it? Has He got that? Has He got your heart? Entirely. Has He got it? Will His demand forthwith be granted? Well, that's our right response, whoever we are this morning, young or old. leader or follower under Christ. So let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, thank you for telling us the good news, sharing it with us, giving us this amazing Bible, which contains the record of your dealings with us, humanity, over all of the years, and demonstrates clearly your heart and your plan that was established before any of us and any of this world or universe came into being. And it shows us how committed you are to saving us. It shows us, most of all, the Lord Jesus Christ and the shocking events that led up to him dying on the cross. Weak, foolish, pathetic to so many who stood there and looked on. Weak, foolish, pathetic to so many who today look back and dismiss it as just some nicety, not some weird moment in history. It's quite intriguing, but no more than that. And yet, that event, that moment, was the plan being made to work, the centerpiece being completed, the payment being made for sin, the salvation being purchased for people like us. And we want to thank you. And we want to pray that we'll be able to think about what we've heard, about what we're doing, about how we view our Christian lives, and especially to be able to know clearly ourselves what you surely already know. Have you got our hearts? Please, will you help us to be clear on that? And if we're not, to get clear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're just about to have our Lord's Supper, but before we do that, we're going to sing another song together.